All right, well, I went ahead and hit the big old button.
All right.
Let me pull up. Hold on, I got a script. Hold on.
Okay,
I
okay,
gotta find where my docs go. Okay. There we go, got it. Merry Yule!
Merry Yule, you guys. Who's
And
having
happy
Christmas?
solstice!
Yes!
So excited! And Merry Christmas! And is Hanukkah still happening?
Hanukkah's over, but happy belated
Kwanzaa?
Hanukkah.
Happy belated. When does Kwanzaa start? I thought that was
I
after Christmas.
have no idea, to be
Okay.
honest.
Well, happy all the things. We are so close to 1,000 listeners, you guys.
We're
It's
so
so
close. We can taste
crazy.
it. We can smell it. And you know what it smells like? Garlic butter.
Because you know where we are?
The parking lot of Olive
Olive
Garden.
Garden! Yeah, we're here. Wait, they said it's gonna be like a 40-minute wait. And guess what? We're doing it for you guys, but also for Olive Garden. So,
Yeah, I can't be promised it and not
not get
deliver on
it.
that
Yeah,
promise.
I'll wait, I guess. It's fine. So, I, for one, have a crazy story today. We're not gonna get into it yet. We wanna wait till we're inside because we want you guys to feel the ambiance of the Olive Garden. I feel like that's such an important part of this. So.
We're just edging you for now.
Yeah, and we're also gonna give you guys a little clip of us opening Christmas presents. We opened our presents earlier before we came here, and I love them.
I love them too.
I technically got three because
But
Sabrina already had one of the things I got her.
that's just how well Shanna knows me. And now my present is that we get to match. And I love that. And also, we were going to like get little snippets while I was getting tattooed, but
We were both just so zenned out.
yeah, I
Like,
just
we
wasn't
weren't
feeling
really
like
talking.
talking.
Yeah. We were both just kind of in the zone of tattooing and getting tattooed. So,
Yeah.
sorry, we didn't deliver there.
Sorry about it, but it came out really good, and Raina's probably gonna post a picture of it because they should, because they did amazing on it.
I'm gonna post a picture of it. So, if you want to see it, you can follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast.
Did I already say last episode what it was gonna be?
I don't think so.
Ooh, well, it's a tarot card, so start taking your guesses now. You know, I think you only need one hint,
Yeah.
and that it's what we aspire to be every day.
Period.
Period.
It's kind of a joke. I get it.
Yeah, but
Okay. Yeah, so we're sitting in the car waiting to go talk about things that shouldn't be talked about in public. At a family-friendly establishment, because we're just crazy like that. Hey guys, we're inside Olive Garden. We're very close to another family who's here, and we're about to talk about some heinous stuff. So, it might be kind of quiet. I'm
We're
going to try
just
and
being
edit it in
respectful, you
post.
know?
Yeah, we're just trying to not make everybody super uncomfortable at dinner. But I told you guys I had a really crazy episode for you, and I did not lie.
And I
So,
can't wait to hear it.
I'm just going to jump right in.
So Raina's clue was that they're doing a crime committed on Christmas.
Well, so technically it's the day before Christmas. It's Christmas
Oh,
Eve,
okay.
but
Well,
it's
that
still in
counts.
the spirit of
Of
Christmas.
course. I think those two are synonymous for
Exactly.
me.
Yeah. So today I'm going to be covering a pretty crazy thing that happened in a little place right outside of Seattle, which is where I was
Ooh,
born,
and me
because
as
yeah,
well.
which was where we were born. And this all happened in a place called Carnation, Washington.
Carnation, like the flower,
Yeah.
or the instant breakfast.
Is there an instant breakfast called Carnation? Oh, I didn't know that. The case was dubbed the Carnation Killings, which I think sounds like really cool. I
It
don't know.
does. It sounds very Christmassy.
Obviously, it's not a great thing that happened, but
No, they just kind of popped off with the name.
exactly. So, Carnation, Washington is located about 25 miles east of Seattle.
Okay.
And Carnation only takes up about 1.1 square miles. So wow. It's a super tiny town. It has a population of about 2,100 people.
That's crazy.
And the landscape is rural, and most residents are employed in farming.
Mm.
According to the city of Carnation's website, quote, Carnation is one of the most productive agricultural regions in the Northwest, surrounded by the Cascade foothills and right on the Snoqualmie River.
I have no idea on that one.
Carnation is the perfect spot to experience the unspoiled landscape of the Northwest and spend time in nature.
Beautiful.
The area is safe and considered a good place to raise a family.
But considering what you're about to tell us, I feel like perhaps that's not as true as they'd like it to be.
Yeah, so there are, like they have burglaries and theft cases, but violent crime is rare.
Mm.
But that was up until December 24th of 2007.
That's recent.
So when Michelle Anderson, along with her boyfriend, Joseph Thomas. It says Joseph Thomas, but his full name is like kind of crazy, but I just got rid of it because it was a lot. He goes by Thomas, though. They were both the age of 29.
Okay.
And they decided to wipe out three generations of the Anderson family.
Whoa.
On Christmas Eve.
That's dark.
And according to testimony, Thomas and Michelle armed themselves and drove their pickup to the home of their parents, Wayne and Judy Anderson, on the afternoon of December 24th, 2007. So Michelle's mother, Judy, worked for the U.S. Postal Service, and her dad was her father, Wayne, was an engineer for Boeing. I've had family work for Boeing. It's kind of crazy pay. Once they got there, they went inside, exchanged their greetings, and then pretty much immediately got to work on the massacre.
Whoa.
At the time, it was just the parents in the house.
No fooling around.
Yeah, no. So Thomas distracted Judy, who was wrapping Christmas gifts, while Michelle attempted to shoot her father. So she attempted, but Michelle's gun jammed. So Thomas killed Wayne and then Judy. So he killed both of them.
So he's 2 for 2. She's 0 for 2.
Yeah, so he killed both of them. The two then dragged the bodies outside and carefully cleaned the home and waited for Michelle Anderson's older brother, Scott, his wife, Erica, who were both 32, and their two young children to arrive. Here's like a quick little thing to add insult to injury. Michelle and her boyfriend Thomas lived in a trailer on the 10-acre land that their family owned. So their parents lived on the same 10 acres.
Wow. So they were just like too close and grating on her nerves.
Yeah.
Huh?
Anyway, after about an hour of her brother and his family arriving, nothing seemed amiss. Everything was pretty chill. I don't know why they didn't question where the parents were, but I didn't read anything about them being like, hey, where are our parents?
Yeah.
So they like began to get comfortable. They had been there for a little while. And that's when Michelle and Thomas appeared, and Michelle opened fire on Scott immediately, shooting him a total of 4 times. And Erica called 911 immediately, and it was around 5 p.m. at that point. And at one point on the phone, the operator could hear her scream, not the kids.
Oh, my God.
And then the line went dead.
That's so scary and so sick.
So Michelle then shot Erica twice. And when Michelle found she had run out of bullets, she told Thomas he needed to shoot the kids.
Wow.
And they were screaming at that point, clinging to their dead mom at that point. But Thomas did what he was told. And with only 14 bullets, Michelle Anderson and Joseph Thomas wiped out all 6 Anderson family members.
Oh, my God.
And in response to Erica's 911 call, authorities were dispatched, obviously, to the Anderson property. But Michelle, knowing the police were likely to show up, had already locked the gate to the property. And we're going to get back to that in a second, because something don't sit right with me about that. The police
Okay,
retreated because they couldn't get in because the gate was locked, not realizing the extent of the carnage taking place behind the locked gate. And a couple days later, postal workers were supposed to be returning to work. So it was December 26th at that point. And Michelle's mom, Judy, was a postal service worker, so she was supposed to be back at work. And her work bestie, Linda, noticed pretty quickly that Judy wasn't there. And thought that was strange and very unlike Judy.
Way to go, Linda.
Period. So she had a gut feeling that something was wrong. And our fucking girl, Linda.
Girls look out for girls.
She left work and made her way to Judy's house, arriving shortly after 8 a.m.
Good for her.
The gate was still locked, so Linda got out of her car and walked around it. Which...
the police couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
That's why it's like, what do you mean you couldn't just walk around? That seems fishy. She knocked, but nobody answered, so she tried the door, which was unlocked. And once she opened the door wider, she saw the body of Scott Anderson lying motionless on the floor. And at first, Linda thought he had carbon monoxide poisoning, but a closer look revealed he had been shot in the head.
Wow.
And not far from Scott lay the bodies of Erica and Nathan, who had similar injuries. Linda didn't have her cell phone, so she rushed into Judy and Wayne's bedroom and called 911 from their landline. And this is like the transcript for it, basically.
Oh my God.
She says, "Hi, there's been a murder. I just came up." She's Judy, in parentheses, works with me. The operator asked Linda who was there. There's a baby, a man, and woman. And she's my best friend. And Linda was too frightened to look at Erica's body and assumed it was Judy's. So the phone call between Linda and the operator lasted about 30 minutes. And Linda told the operator that Judy and Wayne's daughter, Michelle, lived on the property in a mobile home. And Michelle had been upset with Judy and Wayne over money. So Linda worried that Michelle may have been involved in the killings. And she said, quote, "The gate is locked, which makes me wonder if her daughter did it, which is scary because then I might be up here with a murderer."
Whoa.
Police arrived at 9:30 a.m. And first they found Scott, Erica, and Nathan. On closer inspection, Olivia huddled behind her mother.
But she was alive?
No, she was.
Oh.
But like she was in that position when she died.
Oh, I see.
All four had been shot in the head. And they began combing through the evidence. And when an officer ventured outside to the shed, the bodies of Judy and Wayne were discovered. And around 3 hours after the police arrive, Michelle and Thomas pulled up to Wayne and Judy's house because they also live on the property. So
how
they
convenient.
Pulled up to come home. All right. Sorry, guys. Our food came and we had to eat. So
we had to. We're stoned, we have the munchies.
Yep. Alright. So, like I said, they did not seem fazed by the fact that there were police there. Nor did they ask if Wayne and Judy were okay. Which raised red flags. Because they're like, you see a bunch of police here. One, you're not worried about that. And two, you're not worried about your family that also lives on the property with you. The authorities then began questioning Michelle and Thomas. And Michelle told them that they had been on their way to Las Vegas to get married and that they got lost, so they came home.
Oh, where did this take place?
In Washington.
Oh, that's
Washington,
right.
In 2007.
Okay. So GPSs were a thing.
Yeah.
In 2007. Mm-hmm.
They maybe weren't what we have now, but they were still.
Right.
They still
like,
worked.
What do you mean you got lost? Very suspicious.
So the authorities then began questioning Michelle and Thomas even more. And Anderson, or Michelle, told the detectives that the last time she had seen her parents was Christmas Eve before leaving to go to Vegas. When a detective asked Michelle why she thought the authorities were at her house, they're like, "Well, why do you think we're here?" She broke down and immediately started confessing.
Wow, they really didn't have to put any heat on her at all.
No. She said, "It's not Thomas's fault. It's all my fault." That's a warm soup.
Like a nice warm hug.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was waiting for. My first bowl of soup was cold, guys.
And they were so brave about it.
I was so brave about it. I ate the whole thing. There was just a couple gnocchis left, because if you've ever eaten cold gnocchi, it's not fun. Anyway. So the detective asked Michelle, or she said, it's not Thomas's fault, it's all my fault. As soon as I shot the gun, I felt so bad. Like, what the hell have I done? I'm a monster. So she just spewed all her laundry out.
Glad she had some self-awareness.
So the detective asked Michelle why their children had been killed. And her response is so interesting, because she's not wrong, but it's also like...
Okay, let's hear it.
Her response was, they would be scarred for life after seeing what happened to their parents. And it's like, that's true. But also, if you just didn't do it in the first place, they would have been fine.
She's so caring.
Michelle was questioned as to why she felt the need to, like, wipe out her entire family. And she told detectives that she was tired of everybody stepping on her, quote-unquote. Claiming that her brother, Scott, owed her $40,000 and would not pay her back.
Somehow I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. And that her parents had begun pressing her about paying rent money for living in the mobile home on their property.
How dare they?
And it was after she and Thomas had already been living there for a year. So she was like, what the fuck?
I mean, she's only an adult.
So it becomes clear to detectives that money was at the heart of the whole crime. And when questioned about how long she had been planning the murders, Michelle replied that she had decided 2 weeks ago that she would kill her family.
Wow.
And asked Thomas to help her. After Michelle and Thomas' confession, it went on for nearly 2 hours and detailed who killed who. The two were arrested on the spot, obviously, and Michelle led detectives to where she and Thomas had discarded the two guns in the Stillaguamish River. Stillaguamish River. On December 28th, Michelle and Thomas were each charged with 6 counts of aggravated murder. And in June 2008, during a jailhouse interview with the Seattle Times, Michelle confessed to the murders once again. And she said, quote, I want the most severe punishment, which would be the death penalty. I think if I kill a bunch of people, I'm not sure that I deserve to live. I want to waive my trial. Despite the fact that Michelle and Thomas both confessed to the murders, the process was drawn out for a number of years, costing a bunch of money in taxpayer dollars, because they were basically just, like, sitting in this limbo forever, because they weren't being, like, fully charged, but they were able to get out, and yeah.
That's interesting.
So in October of 2008, King County prosecutor Dan Satterberg said that he would seek the death penalty for Thomas and Michelle. However, this received significant pushback from Judge Jeffrey Ramsdell, who ruled against it, and the governor of Washington at the time, Jay Inslee, who said that no one would be executed while he was in office. On September 5th, so quite a while after, of 2013, the Washington State Supreme Court overturned Judge Ramsdell's ruling regarding the death penalty and ordered that the trials of Michelle and Thomas go ahead.
Aren't you guaranteed, like, right to a speedy trial?
I don't know, actually. I think you are, but I think in this case there was so much red tape behind what they were trying to charge them with.
Interesting. So, it's interesting that they specifically requested it.
The death penalty?
Yeah.
So King County Prosecutor Scott O'Toole was pushing for Thomas to be sentenced to death, while Thomas's defense attorney argued that Thomas was mentally ill and had been forced into killing the family by Michelle. On March 25th of 2015, the jury found Thomas guilty of 6 counts of aggravated first-degree murder. He showed little emotion through most of his trial. But this changed when he took the stand on April 3rd of 2015. He was barely able to string sentences together. due to being so heavily medicated with anti-anxiety and antidepressants. And at one point he began laughing hysterically while being questioned.
That's really creepy.
And it was when he was describing the look on Judy Anderson's face when he shot her that he started laughing.
Creepy.
He put his arms over his head and began rocking back and forth uncontrollably. So Thomas claimed that Michelle had manipulated him and that he felt he had no choice but to participate in the murders.
I do kind of believe that.
I do too. In Washington State, for the jury to recommend the death penalty, all 12 jurors must be in favor. In the case of Thomas, eight jurors ruled in favor of sentencing him to death, while four did not. So this meant the death penalty was not an option for him. So he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And as a result of the outcome of Thomas's trial, King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg announced that Michelle Anderson would not face the death penalty no matter what, basically. He said to proceed with the death penalty against defendant Anderson in light of the sentence imposed on defendant McEnroe, that's Thomas's last name, would not be in the interest of justice. Which is an interesting point, I guess. So on January 25th, 2016, Michelle Anderson's trial began. In the opening statements of O'Toole, he stated that, quote, the motive for these murders is pure, unadulterated greed. Referring to an interview Michelle had with a detective in which she brought up money more than 35 times in her explaining why she committed the murders.
Period.
So the tape of Michelle's confession sent mixed messages to the jury. She called herself a monster and a bad person for murdering her family. Then said her mother, father, and brother had abused her over the years. Like, just like throwing a bunch of stuff out there, basically. And she said, quote, I wasted my life because of these assholes. It's not fair.
Whoa, intense. Yeah.
So it was also revealed during the trial that Michelle hated Erica, Scott's wife, because she felt that Erica had pushed her out of her brother's life.
Aww.
Towards the end of her trial, Michelle had an outburst in court in which she yelled at Judge Ramsdell, telling him she was going to file charges against her court-appointed attorneys, whom she was convinced had been lying to her. And that she wanted to temporarily leave jail and find her own private counsel, but she was not granted permission to do so. And for this, she blamed the judge, who she said was violating her rights as a prisoner.
Okay.
Michelle's attorneys did not call a single witness to the stand because they said that she was so hard to work with. On March 4th, 2016, Michelle, like Thomas, was convicted of 6 counts of aggravated murder in the first degree, and on April 21st was sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole.
You weren't joking. That was crazy.
No, it was crazy. And I was really surprised. Like, I did not expect to find such a juicy case for Christmas.
Yeah. Wow.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. I really do believe she was the mastermind behind all that. She sounds like not right.
Yeah. No, she definitely wanted... I have a feeling she wanted her parents to, like, give her money. They're like, no. So she killed them.
Yeah. And that's that.
Which is unlike the Thanksgiving episode I covered.
That's true.
Where he just killed them because he hated them.
Yeah.
He didn't want their money. He didn't care about that.
Yeah.
He just didn't like them.
Period. Well, I think me and Raina need to eat our food.
Yeah, we're going to finish eating. Soup. And then while we wait for our dessert, Sabrina's going to tell us her story.
Yeah, it's two stories, really.
Ooh, juicy.
Juicy.
Okay, we're going to eat some more stuff for faces. Because smoke a bowl. We love you. We'll
Bye.
Be right back.
Mwah.
Okay, so in the spirit of this Merry Yule, we are exchanging gifts as one does in this time.
Happy solstice, besties.
Happy solstice, Merry Yule. Yeah, I told Sabrina I got her two things, so I'm gonna let you pick which one to open first.
Okay. I'll open the box first.
Okay.
And then you open this one, then I'll open that one, and you open this
Okay. Should we open them at the same time or should we wait?
Oh. Let's Wait, okay. So we can say what the thing is.
Okay, okay.
Because they're not watching this. They're
that's
only
true,
listening.
That's true.
It's a bug! Bestie. This is so cute. It says, Bella, where the hell have you been, loca? But here's the thing. You know me so well that I actually already own this exact t-shirt. So, can we be matching?
Yeah, we can
wear
match.
That somewhere and be matching?
We can do that. Oh my god, that's so funny. I didn't even know you already owned it.
I just saw it. So funny, though.
I saw it, and I was like, for some reason, I was like, I feel
like
Sabrina.
But that's how well you know
that.
Me, that you'd know something that I would buy for myself.
Did you buy it for yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I am opening mine now. Cool,
it's cat
cool.
Food.
Love that.
It's not cat food.
Yes! That's so freaking cute. Oh my god. I was just literally looking. I got like an Amazon ad for it.
Really?
One of these last night. And I was like, I'm going to get one of those one day. It is a heart-shaped Dutch oven, basically.
And it's pink.
And it's pink. Ah! And this is like the perfect size to make like dinner for two. I don't need to like just stuff like, it. Yeah.
Heart-shaped
chicken
pot pie. Oh.
Now
that sounds bitchin'
pot pie too. Hell yeah. Okay, so now you open this one.
Okay.
This I'm pretty positive you don't have. So I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure you don't.
I have no stash boxes.
Yay!
I can't wait to see what it looks like. And it's pink!
It's pink!
And it's pink!
She's beautiful! And it's like blank, so you can like do stuff on it if you wanted to.
Oh my gosh. I've been thinking about how I need one of these so badly, because you know, my kitchen table or my coffee table is always a mess. And it's lockable.
And
because
it comes
you
with
know...
a little. Ah! And it comes with. Oh my god. How do you.
It's like a pill. Thank you.
Push. There we go. And it comes with smell proof bags on the inside.
Oh, perfect. As Bestie knows, if it's locked, they have to have a warrant.
Hey.
This is so nice. Thank you. It came with a
Merry
little, like, keep brush
yeah.
and the rolling papers.
And this little thing, on the, I love it because of this.
You can just swipe it all. Ugh. Thank you.
You're
I love
so
it.
Welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Okay, now this present.
There's a mysterious second item for me.
And it is from both Lucifer and I.
My partner Lou, I'm sure you've all heard me talk about many times. Big box. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lou's very excited about me getting this, so.
Lou's got the dad stance.
Cute!
Open it, open it!
Oh, that's the best box ever.
Yeah, this is a cute box. Okay, this is this one. Oh my god, they're so cute! Oh my goodness. They're skates, y'all. I just got some fucking new skates. Oh my god, the heel is so much shorter.
Mm-hmm. And they're pink with rainbows.
And they're pink with rainbow. They're gay.
They're so gay. Funny story, we ordered them the same day we recorded the first episode of the season.
Oh wow.
And I was like, Lou, they've been talking all night about how they want the skates.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I've been wanting to get you skates forever, and then Serena messaged me and was like, hey, what if we went halfsies on a pair of skates? And I was like, oh.
That's because Sabrina's just the best.
Oh, you're the best.
I'm so excited. Yay.
I'm so excited to organize all my stuff.
Okay.
Okay, now we're back.
Okay, we are back.
We ordered our dessert.
Well, we're going to.
I got a soup to go. Oh, we didn't order. You're right. We didn't order it yet. We picked our dessert. We flipped a coin.
Yeah.
And the first time we flipped it, we did not assign heads or tails to
and
either one of us.
And the second time we flipped it, we forgot who was who.
So.
Starting off strong.
We're getting the Sicilian cheesecake if anybody is interested.
Love me a good cheesecake. So, since Raina picked a story that occurred on Christmas, I didn't want to end up accidentally doing the same thing. So, I had to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. So, I chose two actors.
Two actors?
Two actors who have played Santa Claus in different movies. And I'm telling some true crime about them.
Oh, the actors?
Yeah, about the actors.
So, these actors committed crimes.
Or had crimes committed around them.
Around
yes,
them. Okay.
Both.
Interesting.
But these actors have both played Santa Claus at some point.
Okay.
Just stay with me here. Okay. I see your look of doubt, but stay with
me.
Oh,
no, it's not doubt. I'm trying to think of who the actors are.
So my first one, take a guess.
The guy from Santa Claus.
Yes, you did it. It's Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, that's what it was.
So, we all know Tim Allen, king of the 90s, Home Improvement, all that jazz.
Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus. His birth name is Timothy Dick. He
nice.
Changed it because he got bullied too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, Timothy Dick was born June 13th, 1953 in Denver, Colorado. When he was 11, his father passed away. And he ended up moving with his family to Detroit, Michigan, where his mother married her high school sweetheart.
Aww.
Yeah. He was really close to his dad, too, so that was sad.
Aww.
He went to Central Michigan University after high school and then transferred to Western Michigan, where he met his first wife. Supposedly, through college, Tim was dealing drugs.
Oh.
Yes.
And, what?
Mm-hmm. Our resident funny man. Of, like, clean dad humor.
Yeah, what the hell?
In 1978, 2 years after he graduated, he was arrested. He was captured at the Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport on October 2nd, 1978, with over 1.4 pounds of cocaine.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And did y'all pick a dessert?
Yeah, I think we're going to do the Sicilian cheesecake.
Yeah.
Thank you. Which I'm assuming is a lot because it weighs not
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, that is quite a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was poor timing on his part because the Michigan State Senate had actually just passed a law that that amount is what counted as an automatic life sentence.
Oh my God. Did he just get out of it because he was rich?
No, he wasn't rich yet. Tim, so how it all happened is that Tim was being followed by an undercover cop named Pfeiffer, who he sold the cocaine to, in a brown Adidas gym bag for $42,000.
Oh my God.
Tim, which, you know, in 78 would have been quite a lot more.
It's still quite a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, this is like a really well-off man's whole year.
Yeah.
So Tim chose the airport because he had saw it in movies.
Oh my God.
And put the bag in a locker and handed Pfeiffer the key. Once it was open, he was arrested. To avoid the life sentence, Tim pled guilty and gave up the names of other associates so he
what
could be
a fucking bitch.
He was a snitch.
No.
So that
I'm
he
surprised
could...
he's not dead.
What the fuck?
I know. So he got tried in a federal court instead of a state court so that he could receive a lighter sentence. His testimony resulted in 20 people being indicted and four major drug dealers being sentenced.
Dude, what? My jaw is on the floor at Olive Garden right now, you guys.
I know,
I did
right?
not know that I needed this Tim Allen lore, and I what a gift.
And
this
his
is
mugshot,
truly the gift that keeps on giving.
His mugshot's kind of
oh
hot. He's kind of cute in it. He's got like a porn star mustache.
Oh my God.
Look it up on your phone. Oh, never mind. We'll look it up later. It's
okay.
Kind of silly.
I can look it up on mine now.
Oh, okay.
Tim Allen mugshot. Let's see.
Tim served only 2 years and 4 months time at the Federal Correctional Institute in Sandstone, Minnesota.
Just 2 months? How long?
Just 2 years and 4 months. 2 years. Okay. And he was released on June 12th, 1981. He began doing stand-up at night, and in 1991, he landed the star role of his hit show, Home Improvement, and he played Santa in The Santa Claus in 1994.
Looks like someone to me from this photo, and I cannot figure out who.
He looks like someone who what?
He looks like somebody in my head.
Ah.
And I cannot for the life of me figure out who right now.
But isn't he kind of cute?
He is a little cute, and I will admit, in his mugshot. But I wouldn't, like, fuck him.
It's like the bad boy thing. Like, it's yeah, I just thing. Got arrested for... Oh, being dumb.
I like the two shot, the little,
oh,
little
yeah.
side profile there. He was working it.
Mm-hmm. He was modeling.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I had no idea. So that was, and the only reason I started doing this, I literally like found a list of actors who had played Santa Claus, mm-hmm. and I went down the row typing in their name plus true crime.
That's so fucking funny. That's so funny.
So
very innovative of you, actually.
Thank you.
Pretty impressed with that.
I appreciate that. All right, so that was Santa number one.
Santa number one.
Santa number two is from one of my other, well, I wouldn't call her favorite, but I very much enjoy it. Bad Santa. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't, like... I think I have, but I don't, like, really remember it. But yeah. I think I have seen it.
I saw it once, but I was...
I've watched some, like, YouTube commentaries on it.
Mm. So. I was very high on edibles, Christmas cookies when I watched it. So I don't remember a whole lot of it, but I do remember greatly enjoying it.
Okay.
So our bad Santa is Billy Bob Thornton. Uh-huh. Who also a major cutie?
Billy Bob.
Yeah.
He's like Trailer Park Hot.
Oh, that's yeah, like he your is. Thing, it is,
you
yeah.
love a Trailer Park Hot guy.
Well, I live in the trailer park, so, you know, I just need a man that fits
you
in.
You have to live up to the name, I guess.
Live theater and porn stash all day long. So, Billy Bob Thornton was born August 4th, 1955, in Arkansas. His mother was a self-proclaimed psychic.
Oh.
Yeah. And his father was a high school history teacher and basketball coach. The Thorntons were very poor and moved around with their large extended family, often living in shacks without electricity or plumbing, and were often food insecure.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. At 6 years old, Billy Bob witnessed a fatal hit-and-run accident outside his front door, which the neighbors tried to dismiss because the victim was African-American. I know.
Oh my God. Thank you.
So, Billy Bob was dyslexic and he did not do well in school.
Oh.
But he had a promising baseball career.
Oh.
However, during a game, a ball hit him and shattered his collarbone.
Oh my God.
I know. He's had a very sad life. His father was abusive and regularly beat him and his siblings, which led to him developing severe OCD. So he would, like, count to 100 and try to hope, like, his dad would not come in a bad mood. As an adult, Billy Bob was a musician before becoming an actor, although he didn't gain success until he was in his 40s. At that point, he was so committed to his roles that he would lose and gain extreme amounts of weight for movies.
Whoa.
And ended up developing a severe eating disorder.
Oh, no.
Yeah. At one point, he said he was living off of tuna and licorice to, like, cut weight.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And...
Just tuna and licorice?
Yeah. In 2003, Billy Bob played the lead role in Bad Santa. Good
was that
for
like
him.
One of his most popular things, probably, right? What else has he been in?
Other things, but I hadn't heard of them.
Okay.
But I think the other things were more popular.
Okay.
In 2008, Billy Bob's daughter, Amanda Brumfield, from his first marriage, was babysitting a friend's baby. And
sorry.
You're good.
This is, like, hard to get through.
And the child was fatally injured.
Uh-oh.
She claimed that the baby fell from the playpen accidentally But due to the severity of the injuries, a jury was not convinced, and she was found guilty
in
2011 and sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that was his kid?
That was his daughter, yeah.
Oh my God.
And he released a statement, and he was, like, not supporting his daughter in any way. I think they were already, like, estranged and didn't talk to each other.
Damn.
Yeah.
So do we think that she killed the baby on purpose, or, like,
I just a crazy accident? I think so. But there was an article from the Innocence Project I saw in her name, but I did not read it.
What the hell?
Maybe I'll read it and provide an update.
That's so crazy.
I know.
Two people that I did not... It just goes to show you that, like, not everybody around you is an NPC.
Yeah.
They all live their own individual crazy lives.
Especially actors and people in the industry, you know?
That's so crazy to me.
So there are two Santas with...
Happy Christmas.
Weird Merry criminal Christmas. Histories.
There we go, guys. That was our Christmas episode live from Olive Garden. We hope you enjoyed.
Because we're about to enjoy this cheesecake.
We are. I tried enjoying a little bit of it. It's kind of tough. But there we go, guys. That was our Christmas episode. We really, really hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, anything like that, if you want to tell us Merry Christmas, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to see our Christmas tree and a picture of our devoured table and the tattoo that I did on Sabrina today, and maybe our gifts even, follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast.
We will see y'all in the new year.
Yeah, and I don't think you guys are getting an episode until next year.
Wow. So this has been 2023, guys.
Thanks for coming in at the end with us and enjoying your time here.
And in 2024, we're going to cleanse. We're going to set our intentions for the year. Mm-hmm. We're going to thrive and we're going
to
prosper.
And we're going to do so good together. And I'm so excited to see what happens with this show in the next year.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for y'all. And we love you so much. And we hope you have a wonderful, happy, safe holiday. Whatever you do celebrate. If you don't celebrate, we hope you have a good day.
Yeah. And for the meantime, we're all going to light up.
And look out.
And see you in 2024.
Bye.
Bye.
And now... for a very Merry Christmas poem. Merry Christmas!
In a cozy corner of Olive Garden, the two sat, their hearts beguiled. Amidst the holiday cheer and laughter, their conversation took a thrilling turn, wild. The girl leaned in, eyes wide with intrigue. Have you heard of true crime tales? She asked. The other nodded, their curiosity piqued. As they delved into stories, the mysteries unmasked. Over plates of pasta and glasses of wine, they shared chilling tales of crimes untold, discussing cases, both old and divine, their fascination with true crime bold. As the Olive Garden twinkled with lights, their voices hushed, secrets whispered low. They pondered motives and clues late into the night, immersed in the stories that sent shivers in tow. But amidst the darkness, the Christmas spirit thrived. For in Olive Garden, love and joy abound. The two's conversation took a different stride as they toasted to friendship profound. The true crime tales may send a chill, but the warmth of friendship can't be ignored. In Olive Garden, hearts are fulfilled with connections that grow forever adored. So let's raise a glass to true crime's allure and the bonds we forge, both old and new, in Olive Garden, where love is pure, may the Christmas spirit shine through.